I have a lot of questions about whether or not now Victoria has like VIP credentials. I hope so. So real quick before I get to Luke, he's going to be so mad because we're so late.
I know. So it's fine.
Did you get any VIP credentials?
I'm going to meet him tomorrow, life is made.
Oh my god!
I am so excited. Yes. Sorry.
No. That's all. The adrenaline. I know the adrenaline, right? This is how I get whenever I see Luke Tkach.
Soccer.
I see Luke Tkach at PNC Arena, especially when the Hurricanes are doing what the Hurricanes are doing, and he joins us. We have Luke now. He joins us.
Yeah,
on the Adam.
I'm here. I jumped in late. I thought Victoria was talking about me. Honest, both of you, I guess.
Oh yes. All right. You asked Rod the question last night. Were you surprised that he did not know that they had now played and won 7 consecutive overtimes?
No, I wasn't surprised, and I know what kind of silo he's in at this time of year and the way his brain works. I mean, he's not thinking about Nashville in 2021 right now. So I wasn't surprised. I was curious whether he had any thoughts on it because, you know, 7 straight aside, this goes back to Game 7 against the Capitals. It goes back to 2009. It goes back to 2006. It goes back to 2002. This has always been a team that's done well in overtime. And you know, the only common thread there, unless Nicky Wallin wanders back in, is Rod Brind'Amour. You know, he's been a part of all of this, whether as a player, a center, a captain, or coach. So, you know, I think to a certain extent, there, you know, when you say, why is it that this franchise has done so well in overtime over the years, certainly since 2002, I mean, I think it has something to do with some of the qualities that Rod Brind'Amour brings to the club. I don't know that that's all of it, but I think you can't discount that. But I also think that, you know, the fans have a confidence. You know, in some buildings at home, you go into overtime, and I've been in them, and everybody's kind of expecting the worst to happen. And Lord knows that that happens in college basketball around here sometimes. But I think Carolina Hurricanes fans have seen so much success in overtime. I mean, they haven't lost a home overtime game in the playoffs since Zajac scored in 2009. I mean, this is a lot of home playoff games that have been won in overtime. I think there's a confidence that emanates from the fans. There's not that nervous murmuring. I mean, so there's a lot of things that go into it, obviously. But I'm not surprised he didn't know. I do think it's a remarkable record, and I think that's something that, you know, transcends players and whoever's on the roster. And, of course, when you get right down to it, Adam, and you and I both know this, the most important factor is, as Eddie Olczyk would say, Ron Francis' fingerprints are all over their overtime record. You're the host, and I know you're the host, and you're supposed to be asking the questions, but I want to ask you. Will the jokes about Ed Olczyk and Ron Francis on Turner and OLN and wherever else he's been doing it ever get old?
No, they will not. They will not. I think it was game 3, I gave Eddie Olczyk so much credit for holding it all back. It was like beyond the halfway point of the third period before we had the first legendary Ronnie Francis mention. I could not believe the amount of willpower it took. And so you and I talked before the game, and I said over under midway through the second. You went, before I could finish the sentence, under. 8-minute mark.
Man. Yeah.
The new Chevy Silverado HD puts you in command. Own strength with its enhanced available Duramax 6.6-liter turbo diesel V8. Own the lake with its available advanced towing technology. And own technology with an available 13.4-inch diagonal touchscreen. The new Chevy Silverado HD. Own work, own play, own life. Learn more at Chevy.com. Find new roads. Chevrolet.
The 8-minute mark. Look, good for
you. Yeah, I could not get that action fast enough before you pulled it off the board.
It was not available. I think Caesars and MGM.
No action.
Both pulled it off.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this question. Do you think there is, because I don't, you would never set it up this way because it would be silly to tailor your style to be effective in playoff overtimes, but do you think there is a benefit to the way the Hurricanes play, their style of play, that actually works in its favor when you get to overtime?
Yeah, I think there is. They're not an east-west team. They're a north-south team. They're going to get the puck in deep and try to turn your defenseman around and play behind you. You know, they're going to go blue line to blue line. They're not going to try a bunch of fancy Dan stuff, as Jim Rutherford would say. And I think that kind of direct style where you're relying, they rely less on skill than they do work ethic and structure and diligence and everybody knowing their roles. Although they have plenty of skill, don't get me wrong, yeah. This isn't 2002 all over again. But I think that's the way you have to play to win in the overtime and playoffs. In the playoffs, you have to possess the puck. You have to not make mistakes. You have to not leave yourself open to counterattacks. And those are three things that the Hurricanes and their style do all year long during the regular season when they're playing well. You can see it break down sometimes like it did in Game 3 in Jersey. But for the most part, when they're on their toes and they're playing reasonably well, even if not great, that is, I think, a style of play that lends itself well to overtime. And I think you can say that since 2019, that style of play has been a factor. When you start getting into some of the more historical stuff, 09 and 06 and 02, you know, I think then it starts to break down a little bit. But certainly in the Rod Brind'Amour's coach era, the way he wants them to play is a style that's conducive to winning overtime games in the playoffs. I think that's probably true. You know, and I'll mention one other thing here, Adam, on this subject. In 2002, in Game 3, the Hurricanes' fourth line barely played in the third period in overtime.
Right.
I mean, that was a three-line team in that game that lost in three overtimes. That would not happen now. That fourth line goes over the boards with a regular shift, whether there are 4 minutes to go in the third period or it's 4 minutes into overtime. And I think the confidence that the Hurricanes have in each other and Rod Brind'Amour has in all of his lines and his third defensive pairing also enables them to go longer and deeper than some teams that don't have that confidence.
There's no question. Every time the fourth line came over the boards, especially in the third period, and we saw them in overtime too, it was they spent 45 seconds to a minute, it seemed, in the offensive end. They were really, really good. How was it that Jacob Slavin didn't get a star last night?
I mean, I don't know. In the days when the beat writers used to do the stars, maybe they matter now. I think it's.
Well, I don't think they really matter, but.
Whoever picks them. No, I mean, here's a question. I got a better question for you. Not that I'm.
That's fine. I'm happy that you ask me questions.
I looked at the odds this morning. How is Jacob Slavin 100 to 1 to win the Conn Smythe?
Interesting.
He's plus 10,000.
Wow.
To win the Conn Smythe.
Well, he's also plus 10,000 in plus minus rating, right? Right now, he's also plus 10,000 in plus minus rating. Maybe that was what you looked at.
Yeah, right. No, I mean, to me right now, Jacob Slavin, if I had to vote right now, and if the Hurricanes make the finals, I'll have a vote. If I had to vote right now, I'm voting for Jacob Slavin. You know, the other favorites are Aho and Natchez, and that's fine.
Gosh.
But both those guys have disappeared at times. I mean, to me, the three people on my ballot, if I'm picking only Hurricanes, because who knows what will happen. I mean, Draisaitl may end up on there or whatever. But if I'm picking three Hurricanes, it's Slavin, Burns, and Staal.
Not Martinuk.
I mean, he had a great series. He was scoreless in the first.
Right, but he had a great series in the first, too. He just didn't score.
No, he played really well. And that's fine. But when I look at who are the players who have really propelled this team to this point, I wrote about Jordan Staal after one of the first home games of this series. I don't think he's getting enough credit for the way that he's dictating play.
Oh, I'm with you.
Not to mention, he's dangling and scoring on breakaways and doing very un-Jordan Staal-like things.
My three stars. Who are your three stars of this series? Because I do that at the end of series. Who are your three stars of this series?
Well, I would put Martinuk in there for sure.
Yeah.
I think I would have Slavin, Martinuk, and Anderson.
Not Staal. I would put Staal there because, especially in games here, we did not really remember that Jack Hughes played in them.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair, and I just spent all that time talking about how people are overlooking Jordan Staal. So he's on my Conn Smythe ballot, but not my second-round Conn Smythe ballot. I put Freddie in there because I do think, with the exception of obviously Game 3 when everything seemed to break down, his ability to play in six straight games is something he hasn't done all year, and play well. Like I think the first two, the two goals last night, they weren't soft goals. I mean, I think you'd occasionally want a goalie to make a big save there in a playoff game. But man, did he buckle down in the third. And that's, you know, the knock on him in Toronto was can't finish a game, can't finish a series. And now he's finished two series, and he's finished that game. And, you know, the Devils played their best game of the series. Schmidt was good. But the save on Palat, and then Palat shoots wide, that's a game changer. And then, okay, he gets a break. Timo Meier shoots it through the crease, and Hughes passes it to Meier instead of shooting, and Meier misses an open net even worse than Jesper Fast, and, you know, that's a break. But, Freddie made some big saves in the middle of the second period and in the third, and I think he gets a little credit for that. But you're right.
Absolutely.
I can't sit here and say that Jordan Staal is being overlooked and then overlook him myself.
I just think that's – you just proved your point. That's all. All you did, Luke, was prove your point. Luke DeCock of the News and Observer, at Luke DeCock on Twitter. All right, final thing. Would you rather play Toronto or Florida?
Florida. I mean, I think as probably in terms of style of play, Toronto's probably actually better. But I think just in terms of raw talent, you know, you'd hate to get into a situation where these guys, these stars for Toronto who have been so absent at times during the playoffs, all get hot at the same time and just get sort of overwhelmed, especially if, you know, you continue to run into sort of goaltender availability issues. You know, there's not going to be any secrets of Florida. It's Paul Maurice. You know, it's Barkov. It's Tkachuk. I think the Hurricanes have a considerable advantage on the blue line. I think they've got a depth advantage, even if Tkachuk is the best player on the ice. And I think they've got a goaltending advantage because I'm still not sure about Bob, and obviously that Alex Lyon struggled. So I think Florida style of play probably isn't as good a matchup, but everything else, I think, points toward the Panthers. And, Adam, as you know, Southeast Division rivalries die hard.
Oh, it's too bad the Atlanta Thrashers couldn't be part of this. What's Danny Heatley doing?
Well, we know where Don Waddell is.
There you go. Exactly. The Atlanta Thrashers still live. Luke, thank you very much. Take a couple of days off.
Yeah, I'd like to, but we'll see. Thanks, Adam.
All right, man. Take care. At Luke DeCock on Twitter. Boy, I've had so much fun today. I have. I hope people understand that I'm having a good time. and obviously, Victoria's
yes,
having a good time.
Yes, it's a fun Friday.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
are you okay?
I'm good.
All right.
I think I'm good.
All right. Well.
I think we're good.
The new Chevy Silverado HD puts you in command. Own strength with its enhanced available Duramax 6.6-liter turbo diesel V8. Own the lake with its available advanced towing technology. And own technology with an available 13.4-inch diagonal touchscreen. The new Chevy Silverado HD. Own work, own play, own life. Learn more at Chevy.com. Find new roads. Chevrolet.